Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, November 26th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A recent change in leadership at the Porterville Police Department is raising questions about what's going on inside. New reporting by KVPR shows the department isn't just dealing with internal issues.
There are currently 5 open federal cases against the police department. Allegations, they vary by lawsuit, but they include gender and racial discrimination, excessive use of force, assault and battery.
We break down those allegations and what some close to the department say about its current state. But first, these news headlines. A new grand jury report is raising alarm about health care in Kern County. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports this comes after the Board of Supervisors in August reduced the health department's budget by 25%.
Those cuts translate to a reduction of $12 million. The Kern County grand jury interviewed health workers and county staff to look into how the cuts affected health services. It found the safety net provided by the county's public health department has been, quote, greatly weakened, including home care services for seniors and veterans, services for farm workers and low-income families, treatment and testing for sexually transmitted infections, and lab tests for diabetes and valley fever. The grand jury recommended the county restore funding to previous levels and adjust for inflation to avoid future health care pains. Nearly half of residents in Kern County get subsidized health care through the state. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
Undocumented students in California could lose access to financial aid and in-state tuition under a new lawsuit filed by the Trump administration. It argues the state unlawfully gives preference to non-citizens. The administration has filed challenges in other states with similar policies, including Minnesota and Texas. Masi Fulati heads the California Immigrant Policy Center, and he says these students are critical to building the state's workforce.
They're the future teachers, nurses, engineers, entrepreneurs who will succeed in California and across the country. And so if we are harming them, we're harming our own futures.
The lawsuit comes after Texas this summer ended its in-state tuition policy for undocumented students who graduate from Texas high schools. Recent estimates from California's Student Aid Commission show approximately 100,000 undocumented students are enrolled in its colleges, with most attending community college. California's Public Utilities Commission may lower the amount of profit that shareholders can receive from companies like PG&E and SoCal Edison. PG&E has attracted the ire of some customers for recent rate hikes. If the commission approves the reduction at their meeting next month, the savings on household utility bills will likely be too small to be meaningful. Shareholders argue that potential profit is important to balance their risk of loss. The oldest resident at the San Diego Zoo has died at an estimated age of 141 years old. Grandma was a Galapagos tortoise who was beloved by visitors from all around the world. Zoo officials say she died late last week. The tortoise suffered from bone conditions related to her old age before she was euthanized. Her care specialists affectionately called her, quote, the queen of the zoo. Grandma arrived in San Diego from the Bronx Zoo 100 years ago.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Petunia's Place in Fresno, celebrating Small Business Saturday, November 29th, with a presentation and book signing with local author Gene Chaffee, story time with Eric Carle character Lowly Worm, book giveaways, and a gift certificate drawing. More information at petuniasbooks.com.
And now to our main story. Law enforcement agencies across the valley have been experiencing leadership shakeups. McFarland Police Chief Brian Knox resigned earlier this fall, and Bakersfield Police Chief Greg Terry announced he's stepping down in April. And the subject of today's interview is the city of Porterville, where leaders abruptly announced earlier this month that their chief and assistant chief of police were out on leave, and that they'd appointed an interim police chief in the meantime. And at the same time, the city is facing multiple lawsuits alleging civil rights violations by its officers. So here to break this all down for us is KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein, who's been reporting on this situation. Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Liz.
Okay. So to start, as I mentioned, Porterville city leaders announced earlier this month that they've appointed an interim police chief. And I want to note, you know, this announcement came without really any previous indication that the department was even considering new leadership. So what do we know about the circumstances involving that hire?
Yeah, so the new interim police chief is named Bobby Rader. He was tapped from the Tulare County Sheriff's Office, where he was a captain. Police Chief Jake Castello and Assistant Police Chief Dominic Bartow were announced as being out on leave in that same message. And there's no other details about the leave other than that it is, quote, authorized leave. You know, and there, as you said, there really hasn't been much information from the city. You know, the public hadn't been notified of any of these changes before that. They don't really know what the process was for hiring this interim chief. I've followed up with the city to ask some more questions about all this, and a spokesperson told me they don't comment on personnel matters and they won't have anything more to say about Castello and Bartow.
Okay, so not a lot of information coming from the city right now. I understand there are rumors about these two officers on leave that have sort of been swirling online. So can you speak to any other details you've seen and have been able to confirm?
Right. And yes, I won't share most of those rumors. Most of them are just rumors. There's lots of stuff on social media. But the community news outlet Valley Voice has been reporting that Castello and Bartow are out on stress-related sick leave, essentially mental health leave. That's based on internal police emails they obtained that we have not confirmed independently here at KVPR. But Dominic Bartow's wife, Crystal Bartow, suggested something similar in a recent city council meeting. She got up to speak during public comment during the council meeting on November 18th. And she first said her husband, Dominic Bartow, who was the assistant chief of police, that he was totally blindsided by the decision to appoint Rader as interim chief when Bartow would have been the next natural choice. And by the way, this audio came from a recording of the city council meeting, and you can hear there's a lot of background sound.
What I wasn't prepared for was someone was watching him come home from work, confused, hurt, and struggling to understand a major decision that he had no knowledge of before it was announced. A decision that placed the interim police chief over him without a discussion, a conversation, or even a courtesy of a warning.
As a result, she said she's seen her husband, Dominic Bartow, extremely stressed, losing sleep, and it's affecting his ability to work and be a father to their kids.
Okay. Some people might say that the reasons that any employee would be out on leave are a private matter, sort of the comment we heard from the city. But why do you think the nature of the leave taken by both of these police leaders in Porterville is important for the public to understand, or what impact it can have?
Right. And so I think it certainly, if their leave is health related, it's protected. That information is protected. And those details, those exact details, are not our business. And that's not what we're trying to do here. But I think it's worth noting, first of all, that illness isn't the only potential reason for leave. There could be internal investigations into these leaders. We have no evidence of that at all. There's no reason to believe that right now. But hypothetically speaking, it is always a possibility. But in this situation specifically, if what Bartow's wife says is true, this could actually raise more questions about this situation. For instance, the city's press release implied that Rader was appointed as a result of Castello and Bartow being out on leave, but Bartow's wife suggested he was passed over for the job. Then he may have taken leave after Rader was appointed. And so the timeline may not be as straightforward as it seems. This also raises questions about why the city brought in someone from an outside agency, the Tulare County Sheriff's Department, rather than tapping Bartow or someone else from the Porterville Police Department.
Okay, so a lot of timeline questions and potential interpersonal conflict could be happening mm-hmm. that we're maybe not privy to. Okay, let's pivot a little bit here, Carrie. So we know about these top two leaders in the Porterville Police Department stepping down, but you also reported on other issues facing the department. They are currently actually facing several civil rights lawsuits. So what are the details with some of those cases?
Yeah, there are currently 5 open federal cases against the police department. Allegations, they vary by lawsuit, but they include gender and racial discrimination, excessive use of force, assault and battery, warrantless entry, and false detention and arrest. I won't detail all of them here, but 2 of them were filed simultaneously a couple years ago by a pair of former police officers. They allege a supervisor forced them out of the police department after discovering they were in a romantic relationship. The allegations include inappropriate sexual advances against the female officer and then retaliating against her by putting her in dangerous situations. And then also other allegations include that the supervisor created a, quote, bogus investigation to get the male officer fired. Another case involves a minor. A 13-year-old boy alleges that he was riding his bike on Thanksgiving Day last year when he rode past officers arresting someone else. He alleges he didn't notice the officers trying to get his attention, and so they tackled him, pinned him to the ground, then jailed him overnight. All of these cases are still in progress. In 2 of them, the plaintiffs and the city have requested a jury trial, and in the others, it's still unclear exactly how they're going to go.
Okay, so those are some of the active cases, but the city also settled another civil rights case just a few years ago, right? So tell us about that case.
Yes, so this case, it was settled in 2023. It involves a Porterville resident named Cecilia Chavez, and she alleges a whole bunch of violations, including battery, negligence, and false imprisonment. Early one morning, she claims that officers knocked on her door looking for a cousin of hers who was suspected of committing a crime. She said he wasn't there, and even after saying that, she alleges officers forced her front door open, which knocked her to the ground while she was holding her 9-month-old baby girl. Then they proceeded to grab her feet and drag her on her back across a gravelly patio. It really injured her back and her head, she alleges. And then after they had handcuffed her, searched her home — her children were home, by the way — the cousin they had been searching for appeared and approached her house from down the street. And then officers allegedly arrested her, jailed her for 3 days, and then never filed charges. Her lawyer, Stanley Goff, called this situation outrageous and egregious, and he and the city settled for $900,000. $700,000 went to Chavez, and $200,000 went to her 4 minor children. The city has, however, pointed out that settling a case like this does not acknowledge any wrongdoing. They simply were avoiding the high cost of going to a trial. And so Goff, you know, in a conversation with me, he said he's seen similar cases in lots of other police departments.
I have civil rights cases all over California. And what's in common with all these experiences is that a lot of police officers are emboldened to do things that they know they shouldn't do because I don't believe they're being held accountable enough.
So, as you mentioned, still a lot of unanswered questions right now about what's happening with the Porterville Police Department. So, for you, Carrie, what's next in your reporting? What are some of the main things that you're still hoping to uncover?
I think there's some basic accountability and transparency in this whole hiring process that the public could really benefit from. I think there's a question of why was Bobby Rader pulled from another agency, the Tulare County Sheriff's Office? How long will Castello and Bartow be on leave? Will they even return to the Porterville Police Department? And then how will all these legal cases play out? I think all of this is what I'm going to be following into the future.
Yeah, you have your work cut out for you. KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein, thank you for breaking your reporting down for us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And that is today's show. And just a heads up, we will be off tomorrow and the following day, Friday, in observance of the Thanksgiving holiday. Everyone here at KVPR wishes you and yours a lovely holiday and weekend. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Carrie Klein, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.